I make Muslim Valentine's Day cards. It kind of started out as a joke. It actually started out on Twitter. I use this hashtag called hashtag Muslim V-Day.
This is Taz Ahmed. She's a writer, activist, and co-host of the podcast Good Muslim, Bad Muslim. We met up recently at a halal pizzeria and barbecue joint in L.A.
People seemed very conservative in their ideas of how Muslim women are supposed to experience love. So then I just started joking, like in my head, I started playing around with the ideas of cards and what a Muslim Valentine's Day cards would be. So my first year, that was when the TSA screening issue was happening. This was about 5-6 years ago. And I said, a TSA scan would reveal my heart beats only for you. That was that card. When wiretapping was a big deal in the news, I had one that said, I'd wiretap that. This year, I have one card that says, first, Muslim registry, then wedding registry. I think it'll work. I think if you give this to your honey, you know, you might get some action.
Yeah. Today on The Sporkful, we celebrate Valentine's Day with Taz Ahmed. We'll talk about sharing food when you're on a date.
I had a boyfriend that would try to feed me off of his fork, and it was, like, super annoying. You can't, like, gauge the depth of someone's mouth when you're feeding someone.
And dating as a Muslim American.
Once a guy starts liking you, they'll start picking up Muslim-y habits. So, like, I actually was dating someone that decided to stop eating pork. Like, what are you trying to do?
Plus, Taz talks about trying to recreate the flavors of home after her mom passed away.
Without her there, it was really difficult to figure out how to make things. Those are the things that I never got taught by my mom that I wish I would have picked up on.
That's all coming up. Stick around. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Big Al's Pizzeria and Barbecue is in Maywood, on the outskirts of L.A. It's in a small strip mall. Inside, there are 8 or 10 hard plastic tables with metal chairs and an open kitchen. It's a pretty standard pizza place kind of look. And if you didn't notice the sticker on the door, you might not even know that it's halal. In case you're not familiar, halal is the Arabic word for permissible. In food, halal is to Islam as kosher is to Judaism, a set of dietary laws. For meat to be halal, the animal has to be slaughtered a certain way. Cuts of meat from the hindquarters are not halal, and pork and alcohol are not halal. I was excited to check out a halal barbecue joint, partly because I love beef ribs, but not all barbecue places have them. Big Al's does, because they can't serve pork ribs. But really, I was excited because I was invited by Taz Ahmed. Taz is an activist, an artist, and co-host of the podcast Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, which she does with comedian Zara Norbash. The show features frank talk about politics, sex, current events, relationships, and whatever else is on their minds. I asked Taz to explain the name of the show, Good Muslim, Bad Muslim.
I've been doing stuff in the Muslim and South Asian community for a long time, and there's always this perception of what is a good Muslim, and a good Muslim is one that prays 5 times a day or covers their hair from the Muslim community. And then from the non-Muslim community, it's someone that like doesn't drink and doesn't do drugs. And so everyone has their weird ideas of what it means to be good and what it means to be bad. And growing up, I just always felt like I didn't fit any boxes. What we're really trying to do with the podcast is break the boxes that people are trying to put us in and just show that we're just normal. We have lots of different ideas and that there's a gray zone and you don't have to be good or bad, or that the ideas of good and bad are relative,
right?
And that it's always malleable,
right? Because you don't drink,
right?
You keep halal.
I actually don't keep halal.
Oh, okay. But you don't eat pork.
I don't eat pork.
Okay. So, yeah. so you but you don't pray all that much.
Mm-hmm.
You
but I do fast during Ramadan. That's something that is really recentering for me. And I really enjoy the custom and culture and the practice of fasting from sunup to sundown.
But you go out to rock shows and you write about sex and you do things that, right. So basically you observe your religion in the way that most people in most religions observe their religion.
Yeah.
Can I ask a dumb question about halal?
Yeah.
Is there any, because I know there are some similarities with kosher, but I know it's not the same.
Yeah.
Is there any like meat dairy thing?
No. No, there's no meat dairy thing. You know, when we were growing up, we were told that we could have kosher meat. The whole like Jell-O controversy.
The gelatin, pig gelatin,
yeah.
Right?
So like when I grew up in the 80s, so back when I was a kid, Jell-O was everywhere. And my mom's like, you can't eat Jell-O. You had to look at the little box, the Jell-O box, and it would have a little tiny K on it. And then I was allowed to eat the Jell-O if it was like a Jell-O with a K. So kosher was actually acceptable for me growing up.
You know, can I ask you, I remember the first time that a Muslim friend told me that that Muslims who keep halal are allowed to eat kosher meat.
Yeah.
But yet people who keep kosher can't eat halal. And the first time I heard that, I'll be honest, I was like, that seems kind of messed up. Like,
yeah.
I could understand how some people would hear that and be like, what? So like, your food's good enough for us, but our food isn't good enough for you? Did you ever have that reaction?
I don't know. That's silly. I'm just going to say that's silly. On behalf of all Muslims, I'm saying that's silly.
Well, on behalf of all Jews, I agree. So, there are a lot of Muslim rules that you were raised with that you discarded at a pretty young age. There are some that you have continued to make a part of your life. I note that the ones that you have stuck with are largely the ones around food and drink. Do you have a theory on why that is?
I mean, we grew up with food. Food is love, right? Like, that's so much a part of how we're raised. I was actually thinking about one of the things that my mom would always say anytime we were on the phone together. She would always ask, what did you eat? I was always so annoyed by that. But like, for her, that was her way of like love, right? And then whenever you go to someone's house, they're always saying kao. Kao means eat something. And so it's like kao, kao, kao. And so like, I think in that sense, the idea of food and being South Asian is really tied in with love and caring.
Love comes up often in Taz's writing. She contributed to a book called Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. We talked about her experience dating. She says one of the most annoying questions she gets is, how come you don't drink?
It's just the assumption that you have to drink, you know, like you have to do anything. Yeah, I grew up in like punk culture. I'm a little punk kid. So once I learned about straight edge and how there's this subculture of being punk, which is super, has radical politics and isn't about drinking or doing drugs, that I was really drawn to that.
How does not drinking affect your dating life?
The weird thing about dating as a Muslim is that once a guy starts liking you, they'll start picking up Muslim-y habits. So like, I actually was dating someone that decided to stop eating pork because he was dating me. And he was like, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for health benefits. I'm just like, no, wait, hold on here. Like, you were fine with bacon before. Like, what are you trying to do? I dated someone whose beard got longer. And you're just like, what is happening here?
You're like, I already have enough trouble getting on an airplane. I don't need you getting pulled out of security,
exactly.
Too.
It's like, come on. One of us has to not look so Muslim-y. Right. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to get anywhere.
In terms of what you eat and drink or don't eat and drink, do you find the dynamic is different when you're dating a Muslim guy versus non-Muslim?
I mean, when you're on a first date, like, there's always the element of trying to impress you, right? So I remember going on a first date with someone. He's like, let's go get goat tacos. And to him, like, goat was like, okay, him trying to show, like, how Muslim he is, because Muslims, people eat goat, apparently. And so it was great, but it was also kind of like, okay, that's fine, but you don't need to, like, do that. But the goat tacos were amazing. They were really good, so good call. But
Right.
That was silly.
You know, there's a lot of different ways when you're out on a date to share food with the person that you're out on a date with. And I feel like the way that a person shares food says something about them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Eating is so much a part of getting to know someone and understanding people's palates and learning about people's families and how they grow up and cultures. It's just, you know, without sharing that, then what is love? What is romance?
So, like, are you like if you were out on a first date with a guy, would you be like, hey, can I try a taste? Like, if the thing he ordered looked really good, would you be like, hey, let me get a taste of that?
I would. If someone's like super handsy with the food, like if you're eating a taco and then they like touch your taco and you're just like, what's going on here? Like, no, I'll hold the taco while you take a bite, but don't put your hands all over my taco.
So
I think that's the thing.
So you wouldn't mind the person putting your taco in their mouth, but you don't want them to touch it with their hands?
Yeah, because their hands are gross.
What if a guy asked for a taste of your food? How would you share it?
I would share it from, like, the outside of my plate where I haven't touched it yet. Not from, like, the inside where I have touched it. Oh, my gosh. I must be OCD about my eating habits.
So
maybe this is why I'm single. I don't know how to share my food.
It sounds like maybe you have some boundaries.
I do. I do have some food eating boundaries issues.
Right. You may have to let those walls come down
to
find true love, Taz.
I think I have to. Oh, also, like, if we're on a date and he's like, I'm like, oh, you can order whatever you want. Like, you can get alcohol or, like, pork. I don't care. But if he orders pork and then, like, he does it intentionally so I can't share his food, that's also a no-go.
I feel like on one hand you're saying if a guy tries to sort of act or eat too Muslim to connect with you or to make you comfortable, then that's a turnoff.
Yeah.
But then if he says, fine, I'm just going to do my own thing. Then you also sort of will, that could be held against him.
I think it's more the sharing food part. When they go in for a bite of my food, but they knowingly picked a food that I couldn't share.
So we got to figure out what we're ordering here.
Yeah.
Do you like spicy?
I'm not a big fan of spicy.
Okay. That's interesting. Do you feel sometimes that people assume that
you like
spicy food because you're a brown person?
Totally. They're like, oh, but you're brown. You like spicy. I was like, no, I don't like spicy. I like just normal amounts of good tasting food.
And so do sometimes people like crank up the spice when they give you food without even asking, and then it's an issue for you?
Yeah, I think they do. My family's from Bangladesh, so we grew up with really fresh green chili pepper in all of our food. So my mom always had food on the table and then a green chili pepper, and she would take a bite of the chili pepper between bites of her food. And that was how she, like, incorporated.
What an interesting technique.
Yeah. It was very Bangladeshi, this eating, you know, snapping off green chili peppers in your mouth.
And do you do that?
No, I don't
do that.
That's
why you didn't acquire the taste, right? I see. Interesting.
What are we doing?
I'm just waiting for them to... Oh, maybe we have to go up to the counter to order. Let's walk up there.
Yes.
All right. We went up to the counter of Big Al's, ready with an order and some questions. Especially about the halalness of the bacon jalapeno burger pizza.
Is the bacon halal?
It is halal, 100% beef bacon.
And the Lebanese garlic sauce, is that, how authentic is that Lebanese garlic?
That's as authentic as a garlic sauce will come. We basically took the idea of a chicken shawarma sandwich with that garlic sauce and we turned it into a pizza.
Can we get like extra garlic sauce on the pizza?
Absolutely.
Are you Al? Who's
I'm
Al?
I'm not Michael.
Yeah,
Big Al is my younger brother. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Is he bigger than you?
He's actually younger. He's bigger in size. Yeah. Yeah. The GM is my cousin. Another GM is my nephew. For the most part, it's a family-owned business.
That's awesome. I heard about you through some Muslim friends in L.A. who were talking about coming here during Ramadan, and we just never made it out.
Describe the scene for us. What's the scene here like at Ramadan?
Mayhem.
Yeah?
No joke. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you have to understand... Muslim families are big. It's like aunts, uncles, grandparents,
cousins,
and it's like, you know, you just have a swarm of people who all want to eat and break
at
their fast
the
at the same time. It is our favorite and our least favorite time to work, to be honest with you.
What's it like here on Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day, honestly, I'm going to tell you, the weirdest thing about Valentine's Day, and it's not weird, is the calls in for a heart-shaped pizza. Christmas Day here is crazy. Super Bowl is insane.
Roughly speaking, what percent of your customers do you think come here because it's halal?
Probably, I want to say about 40 to 45%.
And the rest are just coming for the pizza?
They're coming for the pizza, for the barbecue, for the ribs.
That's
amazing.
Just
goes to show you that people don't really care. They don't have like these stereotypes against Muslims, and I think it's amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. Yeah.
Let's start this order.
Yeah. Okay, so hit it, Taz.
Okay, I think we're doing the Lebanese garlic chicken pizza.
One order of barbecue beef ribs, and then we should get a smoked beef brisket sub.
Yeah,
I think.
Can you guys handle some heat?
You should ask.
Sweet and spicy wings are amazing.
I can handle like medium heat.
I think you'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Will the sweet and spicy wings be too spicy for us? Well, friends, this is what we in the business call a cliffhanger. Stick around to find out. Plus, Taz talks about the Bangladeshi food that took on new meaning for her after her mom passed away. That's all coming up when our conversation continues. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. Please make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you get it. That way you'll never miss an episode. It also helps other people to discover our show, so everyone wins. Go ahead, you can do it right now while you're listening. Just hit subscribe or favorite or like or whatever the button is on your app. Thanks. Now back to Taz Ahmed. And I do want to mention that her 2017 Muslim Valentine's cards are on sale now. I especially like, "Are you Russian? Because you've hacked into my heart." I think I'm going to give that one to Mrs. Sporkful. Get the cards on Etsy. Taz's store there is called Tazzy Star Shop. We'll link to it at sporkful.com. You can also just Google Muslim Valentine's Day cards. She sort of owns the genre. Let's return now to Big Al's Halal Pizzeria and Barbecue, where... Oh, our pizza's arriving.
It's here.
Put a lot of extra on there.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Not overdo it.
The Lebanese chicken pizza uses Lebanese garlic sauce instead of tomato sauce. Then it's got mozzarella, chicken, diced tomatoes, pickles, and pickled turnips. It's such a great combination of creamy and tangy and crunchy. The beef ribs were big enough for Fred Flintstone, as Taz said, crusty on the outside and tender on the inside. And then the sweet and spicy wings.
I'm okay. I'm going to have some pizza now.
They had diced jalapenos on top and a sauce that was like buffalo sauce, but so much more. Smoky and rich and sweet and pretty seriously spicy, especially for Taz.
It's kind of a crowning moment for me to be able to out-spicy a brown person.
Oh, yeah, that's you're like totally really... out-spicing me.
It is hot, but like, yeah.
It's hot, but what I'm feeling is a burn in my tummy, which is like, that's going to, if I have more, like my tummy's going to be in pain.
Yeah, I'm feeling that too, actually.
I wasn't allowed to eat with my hands in public because I'm left-handed, and in Islam it's really considered a sin to eat with your left hand. So I grew up using a fork when I would go to Bengali house parties. They would judge me because I would not be eating with my hands. I'm like, I can eat with my hands, I just eat with my left hand.
So they would rather have seen you eat with a fork than eat with your left hand? Because it's sort of like if you're eating with a fork, then they just sort of view you as a spaz or someone who's kind of like just given into white culture.
Yeah, totally.
But if you're eating with your left hand, then you're really gross.
Yeah, it was really gross. Yeah, I had no winning.
Do you still, like, is that like when you pick food up with your left hand today, is that something you still think about in the back of your
head? Yeah, I totally think about it all the time. I definitely think about it. You're also supposed to serve with your right hand. So when you give a glass of water to someone, at home I don't really pay attention, but definitely I'm sure if I was on a arranged marriage meeting of parents, there would be a conversation where an auntie would be saying something about me. Luckily, I haven't been on one of those, so I don't have to worry about that.
After we finished eating, we talked more about the Bangladeshi foods that Taz grew up with.
Bangladesh is the delta of the Ganges River, so a lot of the food is reflective of that kind of environment. So it's a lot of greens, a lot of seafood. We're known for seafood and a lot of sweets. So my favorite food is always the sweets. There's this thing called mishti doi, which is just a sweet dessert yogurt, and it's baked. Around here, there's a lot of great goat biryani, which is good.
Right.
It's yum. My mom used to make this really great fish head soup, which was tomatoes and turmeric and... here she would use salmon head and like just stew it for hours and hours. It's so delicious.
I know your mom passed away kind of suddenly back in 2011, and you wrote a piece pretty soon after she passed away about trying to cook her food and sort of not being able to. It was never as good. You felt like
yeah,
but that was a few years back now.
Yeah,
like, how do you
How are you doing cooking her recipes?
I'm not doing well at cooking her recipes. It's hard because I think growing up when you're in college and you're trying to like recreate the taste of home, you can call your mom and say like, what am I missing? Without her there, it was really difficult to figure out how to make things. Those are the things that I never got taught by my mom that I wish I would have picked up on.
Tell me about guava jam.
My grandmother used to make guava jam growing up. She used to have all these guava trees in Bangladesh, and when it was the season, she would go out and pick all the guavas, and she would make guava jam. And whenever we would go visit Bangladesh, my mom would come back with this like Ovaltine jar of guava, because they would reuse the Ovaltine jars. It was gold in our house. Like, none of the kids were allowed to eat it. It was like my mom's special jam. And in the 90s in LA, she was able to find guava trees on the black market, which, I mean, I think you can find guavas in regular stores now. But at the time, she had to buy it from this Vietnamese man who was selling them out of his backyard in our neighborhood. Anyway, so we started growing guava trees in our house, and my mom craved guavas because it reminded her of her mother. And my mom never made guava jam, but she loved eating the guavas. And after she passed away, I wanted to learn how to make guava jam. Actually, my dad was trying to chop down the trees in our backyard because he was just so sad by seeing the guava trees, and it was too much work for him. And I was like, you can't cut down the guava trees. And that year, the year that my mom passed away, I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to make guava jam. And I think it was really interesting too, because my dad and I never got along. And in the process of figuring out what to do with all these guavas and jamming, I was doing it in my parents' house. My dad was also learning too, and it was just super special to like have that healing moment with my father over guava jam.
That's Taz Ahmed, writer, activist, and co-host of the podcast Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, which you should definitely check out. It's available wherever you got this podcast. And get Taz's 2017 Muslim Valentine's cards on Etsy. Her store there is called Tazzy Star Shop. While you're pressing buttons on your thingy-majiggy, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get it. That way you'll never miss an episode. Thanks. This show is a production of WNYC Studios in the Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Shoshana Gold, and me. Editing help from Dan Charles. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. And thanks to Michael and everyone at Big Al's in Maywood, just outside LA. The food was great, and they were super, super nice. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Matthew Kirtman from On a Road Trip Across America, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.